with me tonight. The cross, in the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured souls shall find. The river, Jesus, keep me near your cross. There, a precious mountain, in the cross together again. In the cross, in the cross, be my glory to that rest tonight. Amen. We've got quite a few prayer requests tonight. I'll ask Brother Terry Horn if he don't mind to come and pray over these, but I'll just go through these with you. Bobby Hudo, one of my siblings, in fighting throat cancer, lung cancer, and now has brain cancer. He's on radiation now. We desire all your prayers for healing, especially his soul. That's from Sister Martha Ann, so let's remember that. Bill Mayo called from Alabama requesting prayer for a very close friend. His name is John Dantzler. He recently had a stroke, currently in the hospital. Also remember his wife and son in prayers. They need healing in their body. Brother Bill and his wife consider themselves part of our congregation, stream our services. So let's remember those folks. Serious condition there. Sister Veta Collins been diagnosed with strep. Brother Howard not feeling well. Also will be going to the doctor tomorrow. And then there's some requests for the Gravely family. Brother Bert, low blood pressure, having a lot of pain. Sister Gravely also having sickness in body, some heart problems and weakness. And then also a first cousin who's in the last stages of cancer in need of prayer. So let's remember those needs. And then just a happy note here to put in. I'll just read it as it's written. Ruth and Philip Priest would like to announce the arrival of their son today. 6 pounds, 7 ounces. Mother and baby are doing fine, and the dad is in fair condition. So happy for that couple. Sister Baker suffering with low back pain tonight. Let's remember her. Brother Jean Terrell would like to praise the Lord. Went to the doctor today, and she said he did not have congestive heart failure. So happy for that. Amen. Sister Janet Payne would like us to pray for the family of Terry Stanley from West Virginia. His family hadn't heard from him for a few days. Son went to check on him and they found him dead. The family's just devastated, so requesting prayer for that family. Sister Joanne turns in a request for her daughter. Actually, it's Sister Tessa turns it in for Joanna, her daughter, who has pneumonia. So let's remember her. Brother Keith Phillips has a co-worker, been diagnosed with osteomyelitis in 2 toes. He's witnessed to her of God's healing in his life, and she's requesting that we pray for her. Let's remember that. Brother Gary Harriet turns in a request for Sister Lona tonight. She's suffering a lot of pain. Sister Pat Nunley turns in a request for Clinton Gibby of Augusta, Georgia. Had to have surgery today. Been losing a lot of blood. Brother Orville Reese met a lady at the store who asked for prayer for her husband. Having vertigo, lots of problems with falls. Let's remember that. Sister Jaretta and Brother Terry Stockton needing prayer. Brother Terry's experiencing some mild complications from a recent surgery. And Sister Jaretta may be facing surgeries if the doctor can't correct the problem with medicine. Let's stand tonight as Brother Terry comes. And just finally, another testimony. Brother Jeff Nunley wants to thank God for healing touch. I was having bad headaches, couldn't sleep after going up for prayer. Having Brother Donnie and the saints pray for me, the headaches are gone and I'm sleeping so much better. So thank the Lord for that tonight.
I'm just so happy we get to go to church tonight. What a privilege. When you know, we look out at people and you see them everywhere. They have a smile on their face. I mean, the sinner people, but they don't know what's really ahead of them. And it's such a sad thing, but truly, to be able to have a smile on your face and know that you're sealed in, know that your eternal destination has already been determined, you've made preparation to leave this world, that's something to be happy about. We are such blessed people, brothers and sisters. Let's thank the Lord as we all pray and ask Him to touch these requests. Heavenly Father, as we come to You tonight, we are so thankful to be Christians. You called us before the foundation of the world. Lord, when we think about election, it's just more than we can't thank You enough for it. We really can't understand it. We had nothing to do with it, but yet there was something there that we were part of You, and we just say thank You, Lord. Thank You that You opened up our understanding to see this great truth, that You let us be part of the end time message. We're thankful for present day truth. We're thankful for the ministry, Lord, the fivefold ministry that still proclaims the truth and is not ashamed to speak what has been given in this day. Just so many things, Lord. We're thankful for the sunshine. We're thankful for a house to live in. See people on the street corners that are homeless and beggars. And Lord, just good health that we enjoy. And just day after day after day, the many things we take for granted. We just want to thank You, Lord Jesus. Now, Lord, we are coming tonight. We thank You that we had this opportunity to be back in the house of God, to hear the Word of God, to make further preparations, give us faith muscles to be able to fight the enemy. Lord, he comes in like a flood, but You always raise up a standard. You give us what we have need of. Everything we have need of, really, in our earthly journey is in that seed, Lord. And we just, as we hear the Word of God, what we have need is being quickened day by day, service by service. Pray that You would anoint Brother Donnie to speak those things that You've laid upon her heart. Perhaps as we continue on the book of Acts, we're living it out every day and we understand a little more, and we're thankful for this series. How's has helped us, Lord, to see not only the signs and wonders, but Lord, but the trials and the persecutions and the troubles and the heartaches and all that comes with living out this book of Acts. We're thankful, Lord. Father, these requests now, the first two that was read, the cancer patient and the stroke patient, Lord, You know all about it. God, I know that You've already paid the price for healing. I pray that You would touch those individuals. The burden, Sister Barbara Gravely, they have needs and been a long time since they've been here. Lord, just administer healing to both of them so they can be back in the house of God. And each one of the requests that I have my hand on, it's already been mentioned. They're in the airwaves, Lord, now. And I just pray, God, because You've already promised, can we have faith to appropriate that faith to believe for them? You said if you can have faith, all things are possible. It will happen. So we believe there's faith in the building tonight. We believe You're going to give us a blessing tonight. We've come asking that You'll bless Your children. Speak to us through Your servant. Heal these requests, Lord. And when we leave, we'll be thankful, Lord, for what You've done. Lord, come among us. We just want to say thank You once again for all You mean. We ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Well, I know a man who can walk on water anytime, any place, anywhere. And I know a man who can calm a storm anytime, any place, anywhere. Through the storm, meet You there anytime, any place, anywhere. Rain or shine, He's on time. Any place, anywhere. Well, I know a man who can feed 5,000 anytime, any place, anywhere. With just 5 loaves and 2 little.
little fish, anytime, any place, anywhere. We'll through the storm meet you there, anytime, any place, anywhere. Rain or shine, he's on time, on time, any place, anywhere. Well, I know a man who can save anybody, anytime, any place, anywhere. And I know a man who can meet your need, anytime, any place, anywhere. Well, through the storm, meet you there, anytime, any place, anywhere. Rain or shine, he's on time. Can save anybody, anytime, any place, anywhere. And I know a man who can meet your need, anytime, any place, anywhere. Well, through the storm, meet you there, anytime, any place, anywhere. Rain or shine, he's on time. On time, any place, anywhere.
Amen. Let's the F. If the brothers would like to come lift the offering tonight, let's sing God Delivers Again.
While standing there at the Red Sea, God's people began to complain. Soon Pharaoh and his mighty army would take us in bondage again. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, Moses cried. In God parted the waters, and they crossed to the other side. God delivers again. Oh my God, delivers again. When it seems all is lost, he reaches down his hand. Of evil have to flee at his command. Just when things look hopeless, my God delivers again.
Can you sing a second?
We'll never bow to your idols, the Hebrew children proclaim. So the king gave the command, throw them into the flame. The king said, did we not cast three men into the furnace bound? I see four men loosing the fire unheard and walking around. God delivers again. Oh my God, delivers again. When it seems all is lost, he reaches down his hand. All the forces of evil have to flee at his command. Just when things look hopeless, my God delivers again.
Amen. Let's stand together tonight. If you'll stand up with me. We don't have any special songs tonight, so we'll be getting Brother Donnie out a little early tonight. I've gave him a heads up. He's prepared. We'll give him plenty of time for the word tonight. Let's sing Wasn't That Love together tonight as Brother Donnie comes. That's an F.
Well, in the town of Bethlehem, God came down to visit man. Wasn't that love? Wasn't that love? He knew pain and loneliness as he wore that robe of flesh. Wasn't that love? Wasn't that love? Died on Calvary just to save someone like me. Every day I'm still amazed. There's only one thing left to say. Wasn't that love? Wasn't that love? Well, as he stood in Pilate's hall, never said a word at all. Wasn't that love? Wasn't that love? He heard the mob yell crucify, but he knew that he came to die. Wasn't that love? Wasn't that love? Wasn't that love? How he left his home above and died on Calvary just to save someone like me. Every day I'm still amazed. There's only one thing left to say. Wasn't that love? Wasn't that love as he laid there?
As he laid there in that tomb, he did just what he came to do. Wasn't that love? Oh, wasn't that love? Oh, but he rose up from the grave. That love, oh, wasn't that love? Wasn't that love? How he left his home above to die on Calvary just to save somebody. There's only one thing left to see. Oh, wasn't that love?
Let's sing it again, everybody. Praise the Lord. Oh, hallelujah.
Wasn't that love? How he left his home above to die on Calvary just to save someone like me.
Praise God.
There's only one thing left to say. Wasn't that love?
Amen.
Oh, wasn't that love?
Oh, hallelujah to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. How many can say amen to that?
Amen.
Wasn't that love? Real love. What a lot of people call love in the day that we live in, it's sickening. But this is real love. Praise the Lord. Let's read about a man tonight that had been touched by that love. Now I want to warn you, if you haven't experienced it already, when you really fall in love with him, sometimes you're considered mad and crazy. That's right. But that's a good sign you're out of the ordinary, you see. You don't just love him for a free trip, free ticket to heaven. You love him I've said it before and I'll say it again. If there was no heaven, I'd still live for him. Just living in this life, the peace, the healing, the joy, the happiness that I have. If there was no heaven, just cease to exist like all other mortals. I'm happier now than I would be a sinner. I know I am. I'd live for him anyway, wouldn't you? Amen. Acts chapter 26, verse 19. Let's continue with the book of Acts, shall we? Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea, then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Now remember what he's doing. He's laying his defense of why he's being tried. He just condensed it all right here in these verses, talking about what God had done, the Lord Jesus meeting him in the vision. He was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. And then he turned and preached to the Gentiles. And he puts right together, I'm not a troublemaker. I'm not going about trying to overthrow the kingdom. This is why they raised up against me. He must have been pretty convincing, because when he gets done, him and Agrippa meet together and said, this man's innocent. If he hadn't appealed to Caesar, we could let him go right now. He so pleaded his case and projected his innocence in such a way. We've seen it before. Every tribunal that he goes to, even his enemies, says he's innocent. Amen. Friends, let me tell you something before we pray. You stand for truth. You stand for what's right. Truth will always win out. It don't always win out first. Now, sometimes lies will be told and people will believe lies and error. And many times the truth, it's almost like it takes a back seat, and God allows it to be so. Sometimes in your family problems and church problems and all kinds of things, truth seems like that it goes last almost. But eventually, truth will always win out. You stand for truth, and truth will stand for you. And you tell the truth, and you can tell it the same way every time. Mini sermon number one. God bless you. Let's bow our heads together. Father, we love you so much. Lord, it just so moves our heart. We hear songs like this that we just sang about your great love. Lord Jesus, we thank you. Father, your creation power is wonderful. Your omniscience, your omnipresence, so many great attributes about you are just wonderful. But if you was omnipresent, didn't have love. If you was omnipotent and didn't have love. And you was all powerful, but you didn't have love. What kind of a God would you be? Hateful, destructive, mean. But you put all that and mix it together with love. No wonder, Lord, that when you come near a person's heart, they begin to melt away. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that we know you not just in the power of judgment. We know you not just in the power of omnipotence and the power of omnipresence. But we know you through the power of love. Lord, speak to us tonight, I pray, from your word. May we be benefited, Lord, as we sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Amen. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. This man sure isn't preaching like he's standing before people of such authority that would be able to make it very hard on him. You'd think he'd stand there preaching before common folk that would have no sway whatsoever, that they would have no power, no ability to bring any harm or danger. Would you ever think from this man's sermon, from this pulling these verses out, that he is standing there before a king and also before Nero's own procurator himself, which could have him taken and beaten? They could have had all kinds of evil treatment brought upon this man. And yet he's standing there proclaiming the truth as if though they had no power over him at all. Now you want this? This speaks to me that this is a man that recognizes authority, but he also recognizes the power of God. That the power of God, and no doubt in his flesh, may be feeling somewhat of a retraction and somewhat, maybe I should go easy on this, maybe I should be careful. But standing under the presence of God, it's as if though there was no restraint whatsoever. That the man is addressing the issue, he ain't playing church. You know what? This goes to show again, in comparison to many of the flimsy, soft preachers that we have living in this day, they're not even qualified to be called real preachers in the first place. What would many of them do if they were standing in the case of where Paul was? Oh, you talking about great swelling words. You talking about nice and all the great things they would say. Not this man. Let me just go ahead and tell you. I believe there's men alive tonight that would preach just like Paul did. Why? They got the same Holy Ghost. You believe that? So what's Paul doing? Now, Paul's not looking for great swelling words as did Tertullus. He's not looking for lawyer words. Now remember, Paul was a very learned man. He was learned in Hebrew. He was learned in Roman. He was learned in Greek. He was learned in many of the classical writers of that day. You can tell by his very words that he used. He even pulled words from Plato. He pulled words from many of the historians of that day. Actually, some of them words made scripture. I'll read you some momentarily. And yet he was a very learned man. A man which had great understanding. And he could have no doubt pulled for many of those words to say, to hopefully make it go easier for him. But oh no, Jesus has already told him, you're going to stand before kings. So you know what? Jesus didn't want Paul to play politics. He wanted him to tell the truth. He wanted this might be the only time that Agrippa will ever get to hear the gospel. So what if Paul moves over in the political gear and goes to preaching politics? Oh, great noble Festus. Oh, great Agrippa. And lays the butter and honey on. That's not the kind of man that God wanted to present to them. Oh, praise God. Notice this in verse 22. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day. Now notice, he's referring back to the very words that the Lord Jesus had told him. Now he said these Jews, and remember he's calling back to the Asiatic Jews, those which had followed him around, and they had caused these troubles from one place to another where Paul went. And he says, that's the very reason that this trouble all started in the first place. But he says, having therefore obtained help of God. Now they claim they are on God's side. And they claim they are God's spokesman. But he said, I just want to let you know that actually I'm the spokesman of God. And God has helped me and delivered me out of their hands. So if God is supposedly on their side and delivered me out of their hands, then God is working against God. But God don't work against God, does he? So God was not on their side. God was on Paul's side. Well, let me just tell you the same thing. When you feel like you're down and all wore out and going through all kinds of things, and the enemy's trying to point out all kinds of faults and failures and so on, you need to go back to him and refer to the same way that Paul did, because this illuminates his own faith in God. I have obtained help by God. Who is it that saved you, folks? Who is it that delivered you? Who is it that sanctified you? Who is it that gave you the Holy Ghost? Who is it that heals you when you're sick? Who is it that anoints men of God to come and preach the word and discerns the very things you talked about before you come to the house of God? Who is it that's doing that for you? Well, if you belong to the devil, then we might as well quit serving God and start serving the devil. If the devil can do all that, he's about as big as God is. But he ain't. The devil's a liar. He's nothing but a wimp. And he tries to pull a bluff over on us. And it's time that we realize we have obtained help from God. Well, if we've obtained help from God, it must be that God is on our side. And if God is for us, then tell me who can be against us. Amen.
Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue this day. I wish every saint of God that comes to Happy Valley would let this be their testimony. Having obtained help from God, I continue this very day. Having obtained, come on church, is that the way you feel tonight? Having obtained revelation from God when others are falling away, this is why we're more stable now than we've ever been. Having obtained help from God, amen. Why? Because he says, I continue unto this day. And he said, just to let you know, I am witnessing both to the small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come. What's he doing now? Re-verifying that Rome has legalized Judaism. And if they have legalized Judaism, he is preaching the advancement of Judaism. Let me just say it to you this way tonight, that Luther went right on and God began to open him a portion of truth that had been hid in silence for several hundred years. And then God came with Wesley's message. And what was he preaching? A reformation of Luther's message. Pentecost come with the restoration of gifts. What was they preaching? A further reformation of what Luther and Wesley said together. And what did God do after that? Through the fourth power, the fourth number, restoring it. Four death messengers cut it down. Four life messengers bring it back. What was it? It was not just a restoration or a reformation, but a restoration of the lost apostolic doctrines that had been hid for almost 2,000 years. Amen. We have obtained help from the Lord. We continue on this day, not because we are determined, not because we are good, but because we have obtained help from the Lord. And guess what? We are still witnessing to the small and the great, the rich and the poor, whoever God will put across our path. Amen. Hallelujah. What did he do? He looked around and he saw God everywhere. Every deliverance. And Lysias the captain. When God had moved on Felix's heart. What was he attributed to? He said it was God. But yet it turns out to be it was God using a Roman captain. God using a Roman procurator. God using a little boy. God using this. But he said it was God. Come on, children. I wonder how many times God has moved in our life. How many times he's come on the scene. And maybe this doctor or that nurse or this person or that person. And you're looking for a winged being to come down out of heaven. God will move on your behalf and use natural people around you. Oh, how he wants us to recognize him and give him praise for it. My, when they was lying in wait and going to kill him, God moved for him. And how did God move? His nephew. Far as we know, he wasn't even saved. Neither was his mother. But yet Paul attributed this to God. Oh, I'll tell you one thing. I got this job and it all worked out. I don't know how I got it. Duh. Well, maybe it was God that moved on the boss. God done this and God done that. Give credit where it goes. God. I'll tell you what you'll do. Then you'll realize God is more in your life than what you've been recognizing. Well, it just so happened I picked up the paper and I saw this job and I done this and I went over there and who was it that led you over there? Who was it that even moved on your heart to do it? He said, I'm continuing this day. May I say the same thing tonight? Now, Paul is not, he's not any different as far as his ability to minister to the word. He's now standing there preaching to a king and he's preaching to people of great royalty. But you know what? I imagine he felt just as home, if not more so, preaching to some of the believer peasants in that day when they met and their numbers was 12 and 15 and 20 and then meeting the catacombs or wherever more. He said, I'm preaching the saints. Just to let you know, king, that I am not one thing over here in front of royalty. I'm another thing over here. I'm the same here, there, and there because I believe this is the truth. My friends, this is the book of Acts. This is the real book of Acts. When you fall in love with the word, you don't preach hard and boy, you don't just go when there's a big crowd. You go the same whether there's a handful or a building full. Why? Because you got a heart full. That's the thing of it. If we get a heart full of Christ Jesus, it makes no difference. Oh my. If God allows us to win one soul to Christ or 10,000, what difference does it make? As long as we're doing what he wants us to do. I found help of the Lord. I am continuing on because of that help. Oh, hallelujah. My, don't you appreciate the grace of the Lord to you? Now, notice this. So he mentions the opposition, the charge that comes against him. He said, this is the very reason that they've done it, because of me preaching the way that I have. This doctrine is perfectly identified with Moses and the prophets. Now, notice what he's trying to do. The very same thing that we do today. When people question what we believe, and the attack that's been on the message in the last few years, people trying to say, oh, Brother Branham, in Malachi 4. John the Baptist is Malachi 4. Well, apparently Jesus didn't know it, because Jesus said Elias truly shall come after John the Baptist had done come. So, you know, if Malachi 4 was fulfilled in John the Baptist, that means Jesus didn't even understand it. And the church said, well, you know, I don't know this, and I'm not sure about it. Well, you go ahead and do whatever you want to do, because that's what I'm going to do too. And what I want to do is stick with what God has vindicated, because it's going to get me out of here. Now, if you're looking for another messenger, go right ahead and look all you want to look. I have done found what I was looking for. Amen. When you once find it, brother, sister, you quit shopping. You're no longer looking for an end time leader, so you don't have to sit down and scan the channels and look for a last day prophet. You've done found one. Or may I say, it found you. And by the grace of God, you're not searching no more. I'm not TV searching. I'm not internet searching. I'm not church searching. While I'm just visiting around looking for a church, I ain't. I found where I belong. I'm just going around, see if I can find a preacher. I found where I belong. Well, I'm going from here to there to there. Go right ahead. I found what I was looking for since I was a child. What is it? The revealed word of this hour. It is the evening light, and there is nothing like it in all the world. It's not weird. It's not strange. It's in the Bible. Amen. Paul said, now I know this is different. I know it's peculiar. He said, but what I'm preaching, Moses and the prophets preached it. They didn't call Jesus' name, but they was pointing to the time when he would come. The Bible didn't call Brother Ram's name. It didn't need to. The Bible don't call my name or your name, Donnie or Daryl or Jim or Fred or Mary or Susie or Lucy, but it does call your real name, the Word. Right. Now what? So there is an entire harmony. It was the thing that he wants to get them to see. That there is a harmony in what I am preaching. And not only me, but the rest of the brothers. What we are saying is an entire harmony with what Moses and the prophets prophesied would come to pass. Now Agrippa, you do believe the prophets, don't you? Imagine, friend, Paul was in his element. He is in his element. Now, as obscure, as awkward, as peculiar as it might have seemed, he is in his element right now. Oh, glory to God. He was delivering this to kings and governors and potentates, just like the small, the indifferent, because God called him to do it. Put another man in that place, oh my, he'd get up there and stumble and stutter around. Why? He was not called to do it. Does that make Paul greater in the sense? Not greater? Oh, it just bothers me when you hear preachers, they want to be bigger about this and bigger about that. Why? Why? Why not just be what God's made us? What difference does it make if God gives a man a church of 500 or 50? Be faithful to what God's give you. If people like to hear you sing every weekend, that makes you more responsible. Maybe you're the type of singer that people like to hear sing once a month or once every 6 weeks. Well, if that's what you are, then sing once every 6 weeks. Hey, well, I got quiet on me, didn't you? What if you're the type of preacher that goes out once a month or once every 2 or 3 months, and that's in the will of God? Be happy and be satisfied. Don't try to be this man. I got to go every weekend. I got to go. Be what God's called you to be and what God's gifted you to be. That way you're standing right in the confines of the Word. And when the enemy comes, you can stand right there and say, out of my way, devil. Out of my way. Why? You are in your element. Oh my, I'm about to get sidetracked. I'll tell you one thing, if every one of us tonight could get in our element, no matter what it is, there ain't enough devils out of hell to stop us. If we can find our position and stand in our element, hell will back away from you. Goodness, where did all that come from? Watch this now in verse 23. That Christ should suffer and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead. Amen. Now, wait a minute, Paul. How do you mean that? Now, Jesus was not the first one to raise from the dead in one sense. But in another sense, he was. So now, if you want to pick him, then you make Paul a liar. Because he said Jesus was the first one to raise from the dead. But Jesus raised several from the dead in his own ministry. Jesus was the first one to raise from the dead. But other people raised before him. Now, what is the point in hand? They were raised, but every one of them died again. But Jesus was the first one that was raised to immortality. Lazarus was raised from the dead back into the realm of mortality. Jairus' daughter was raised from the dead, but back into the realm of mortality. Those that were the little boy with the coffin, and whenever Jesus touched it, he was raised from the dead. But where? From the dead back into the realm of mortality. But Jesus Christ was the first one to be raised from the dead. Hallelujah! Into the realm of immortality. He was not raised back into the realm of mortality to die again. Hallelujah, hallelujah. It's the same with our souls in the spiritual resurrection. We have been raised from the dead, not to go back out into the world and come back to God and go back out into the world. Our souls have been raised to immortality. Hallelujah. He says that Christ should suffer. Christ should suffer. Now watch, he's bringing to Agrippa's view in the allusion of Genesis 3:15, Jeremiah 23, Zechariah 6:12, all the different things that he could have brought in of the brazen altar and of the sacrifices and of the atonement. He said, can't you see, Agrippa? What I'm preaching was what Moses said interpreted in a human body. Amen. Can't you see what's happening to the Shulamite? What Solomon, Jesus was saying to her. Remember the Daryl sharing this the other day. What Solomon was saying to her, she had become. She had become. So she was the manifestation of what he saw. Amen. In her being, she was embracing and becoming his word material. Made flesh. And you're Paul before Agrippa saying, Agrippa, what I'm preaching, even though it may be peculiar and different, it was Christ. Notice now, Christ, Christ, Christ. What is that? Anointed one, the Messiah. Now, he says he had to come, he had to suffer, he had to die, and he had to be raised again from the dead in order to bring this new message. Now, watch, it's so different. Of course, you imagine living in that first century that it would have been that he should rise from the dead. So he must be called then the first because he's the head of the new race. And because of his eminent position in the body, he will be the first one to rise to immortality. So before the graves are opened up in Matthew 27:53, before they come out of paradise, who raises first? The second Adam. So the second Adam comes up. Amen. And they enter in with him in his after his resurrection. So when he got up, he called Abraham and them out of paradise, and they were in the theophanies. But somewhere during that time, they entered into a body after his resurrection. So here is the impact of the second Adam. And what do you find? Here's the second Adam on the earth walking around, and you look around, and there's Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Sarah, all the elected. Amen. Where the resurrected second Adam is, there is a resurrected second Eve. Amen. If our second Adam has come on the earth in the form of the resurrected word, there must be a resurrected second Eve here with him. Why, he rose as the head of the new race. The new race, the God race. Not just raised from the dead, but raised from the dead into the realm of immortality. Oh, hallelujah. Notice in verse 24. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Now, if you got a good love for Jesus and you're saved, and you ain't never got beside yourself, you need to go a little deeper, brother. Because this that comes in you will make you get beside yourself. Why? Because someone else is in yourself. So it'll make you get beside yourself. Now, Festus says this with a loud voice. And I'll say, I think this guy's crazy. I mean, look at him, look the way he's carrying on. Can you imagine now? Paul must have been so exuberant. It must have been these words were flowing out of him. And Luke doesn't say that he was moving his hands or whatever more. But there must have been something so captivating about this man that he's acting similar to somebody crazy. You are beside yourself. Much learning has made you mad. Now, this is not angry, of course, but it's something going on up here in his head. Now, you know, you kind of wonder about Festus here, really, his reasoning, because pretty much in this whole sermon, Paul keeps referring to Agrippa. King Agrippa, King Agrippa, King Agrippa. So the big man's been left out. So his name hasn't been called in service one time so far. He's not been recognized, and Paul hasn't said, Your Royal Highness, sir, you're a great, glorious man, you're this, that, the other, but he keeps on preaching to Agrippa, and just like Festus ain't even there. Now, most of you folks wouldn't understand that, but sometimes you have to do that even when you're preaching in church, because folks will sit on you, and they're mad at you, pouting, or whatever more, and when you find them in every service, you've got them pretty much every service, and whenever you find them, you just preach over them. Carol asked me sometimes, well, so-and-so at church, and I said, don't really know. He said, how in the world would you not know? Because if you're sitting in the zone where they are, I probably won't know if you was there either. Because you chose the wrong seat that night. So I look for those who's pulling. I look for those who come to have church. Those who wish that's at Walmart, I'm not sure if they're there or at Walmart. I just preach over them. Uh-oh, letting away trade seekers, ain't it? Now, you're Paul Kepperberg, oh, Agrippa, oh, King Agrippa, and Festus said, hey, I'm still here. Now, notice his answer as if, though, to dig at Paul and get back at him for something. Oh, my. Amazed at his zeal. Overwhelmed by his fervency of speech. You ain't going to tell me, friends, he did not sense a supernatural something of the presence of God. Maybe his first and only time to feel it and sense that it was there. Paul, you are mad. Now, this is not unusual for the people of God, especially ministers, to be considered crazy. Praise the Lord. It's not unusual at all for the Lord Jesus himself. Notice this in Mark chapter 3, verse 20. And the multitude cometh together again so that they could not so much as eat bread. And when his friends heard of it, they went out to lay hold on him, for they said, he is beside himself. The Lord Jesus. Now, the people was all around him, and oh my, they was just all tore up. And then they come around and they said, he's beside himself. He's absolutely beside himself. You better go get him because he's went too far. He's pressed out. Remember in Kings, whenever the prophet came to Jehu, and they said, the man is mad. So it is a common thing with people who really have vision and really catch the move of God and the voice of God for them to be considered heretics. And mad, crazy. Even sometimes by those constituents who say they believe what they're supposedly saying. Now notice this, and as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning has made thee mad. Now, this, of course, could happen because people, even Brother Bam tells us in question and answer, about laity trying to study the Word and study the Word and study the Word. He said, you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't go to a place. You realize, sure, laity, get there and study the Word and look at it. You want to know what you're standing for. But there's a line you can cross where you get over into a minister's position. You have no place being there. Well, praise the Lord, you didn't know he said that. Well, he did. Why? Because you're getting beyond your boundary. You can't put it together. If Satan meets God called men when they're studying, I guarantee he's going to meet a layperson that don't have a gift. That's right. So Festus had already perceived that he was a man of great learning. He could tell by talking to him, of course, by his vernacular and his language and all that. And he knew that he was very well versed in the prophets, apparently because he was quoting the prophets and from the Mosaic law. So he knew that this sometimes could cause people to be able to go off a little bit, that they've studied so much. But you see, when a man really falls in love with the Lord Jesus, or a woman, and they fall in love with that truth, they are going to be misunderstood. They're going to be considered fanatics. If they take the Bible as truth and believe God is still a reality, they're going to be a fanatic. Or the shorter version, as we call it today, a fan. So people who are fans of the Washington Redskins, and they go to a Washington Redskins game, no, that's the way that when they come hear me preach. I'm sorry, that's wrong setting there. They're going to fly to Seattle. They're going to fly to Portland. They're going to fly wherever, pay so much ever for a plane ticket, so much for a seat to be able to get there, and they're going to sit there and go to sleep. Wake me when it's over. They're going to miss the Washington Redskins game and go to Walmart. People miss church and do it. People miss church and go to Walmart and miss church and go on a picnic or miss church and go, what would be the difference in that? Surely you don't think a Washington Redskins ball game is more important to come to the house of God. It don't make no sense that you would fly all the way out to Seattle or somewhere and buy a ticket and get an airplane and this and that and other. It makes no sense to me that folks move to Johnson City to come to church and then quit coming to church after they move to go to church. There's something wrong here. I mean, either I'm crazy or you all are one. There's something bad wrong in this picture. It makes sense to me. If you moved here to go to church, you ought to go to church. Maybe I ain't too smart, but you know, I don't know. Oh, my. Those who regard the truth of the gospel in such love and such fervency, they're going to be considered to be crazy. But you know, that kind of goes with the territory because it's the evidence that God is so alive in their hearts. They cannot be satisfied with just going to church and, well, hallelujah, let's go whether we need to or not. What do you say, Brother Darrell? Let's just go ahead and go to church tonight. Don't you think it'd be good? I mean, you know, Wednesday night, I personally really don't need Wednesday night services. I get so much on Sunday morning that I fill up for all week long. Your spiritual stomach must be the size of a thimble. I'll tell you one thing, when the Lord give me the Holy Ghost, he give me an appetite like a Yorkshire hog. That thing inside of me, dog. He wants food every day. He wants... Oh my, I ain't never got too fat. I ain't never got too much. I eat and eat and eat. And the more I eat, the more I want. I sing, I pray, I praise. I go to the house of God. And the more I get, the more I want. And what I'm looking for is for me to get so big I'm fixing to bust out of my clothes. Amen. I'm fixing to outgrow my clothes. close my mortal body, and my soul can't be contained no more in mortality. I'm going to eat myself out of house and home. Glory to God. Brother Donnie, you are a fanatic. I don't doubt that at all. I don't even deny it. I'm an addict. I gotta have it. You imagine all these aristocrats sitting there, and Paul, and they're just kind of whispering and looking back and forth at one another. I think, Lord have mercy, this man is an absolute idiot. He's out of his mind. And yet you'll go to where your son is throwing a ball about that big around, or about that long, pigskin. And you'll scream to your horse. You'll drive hundreds of miles to take them to a spelling bee. You'll get a motel room and you'll do this, that, and the other, and order that your child can be the top 1,388 in the spelling bee. And some of you ain't never went to a special meeting. Some of you won't never go to a special meeting, to Ron Spencer's or Tim Pruitt's or somewhere, and take a weekend and take some of your stinking money and get a hotel room and buy food and go to a special meeting. But you'll go to a special ball game, and you'll go to a special soccer game, and you'll go to this special and that special, and them specials is going to take you to hell. If that's your greater love, you better get the Holy Ghost before you leave this place tonight. Lord Jesus, I'm going to be out of a job. Paul, this stuff has made you mad. Brother Donnie, I must say I'm kind of beginning to worry about you. Don't worry about me. I'm good. I just had a checkup this evening with the main man, and he said, I was good. I'm kind of a weird sort of a guy. I have daily checkups with my doctor. For me, Sunday to Sunday won't work. Once a month, I'm afraid I can't. I've got to have a checkup with him, Brother Dowd, every day of my life. I start my days off in the morning. Good morning, Lord. How are you? I rested good. Thank you, Lord, for your kindness and your mercy. I talk to him all during the day. He's the last one I speak to at night. Amen. I want to make sure everything is all right, just in case this old ticker right here decides it ain't going to tick no more. I want to make sure everything is peaceful between me and my God. When I get up of a morning, I want him to know I'm on his side and I'm glad he's on mine. If I eat some lunch, I want to bow my head and thank him for it. I want him to know about 3:00. I want him to know around 6:00. I want him to know about 8:00. I wish somebody would preach with me tonight. We'd have church. I want him to know all during the day. I need him. I love him. He's my everything. He's my all. He's the one I'm dependent on. He's the one that saved me. He's the one that sanctified me. He's the one that's coming back for me. I honestly hoped, Brother Donnie, as you got older, you would slow down. I will. I can get about 140. I plan on it. But until that time, look out, devil. No doubt it was not just his knowledge, but his manner. You could tell he loved what he was talking about. That's what I want people to know.
I don't want them just to notice, man alive, he studies the scripture. Man, he can quote the prophet. Oh, that's well and good. That's committed to memory. You could do that and not be sincere. But I want people to know, when I talk about it, I really believe it. Don't you? Ain't that what you want as a Christian? What matter? What difference does it make? The mass of storage and the amount of storage that you have, if you're not sincere. Oh my. Paul, I believe all this stuff has worked on you. Well trained in the Jewish records, you're trained in Roman customs, you're trained in all these other things. Could it be that all this has made you crazy? You know, I understand that you're quite acquainted with Plato and many of the others. You understand, let me read this to you. I found this was amazing. That Paul actually borrowed from the words of Plato, the words that he wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6, stir up thy gift that is within thee. Plato was the one who said that. Of course, some of the YouTubers in Paul's day would have said Paul stole them words because they would have thought it was original. And some of y'all probably thought it was original, but he actually took it from Plato. Praise the Lord. Why? We are children of truth. Truth. It makes no difference if Billy Graham says the truth or Oral Roberts says the truth. I'm a child of truth. If they say a truth, I can say amen, and guess what? I'll use it. Amen. If Oral Roberts has said a truth down through time, Brother Branham used several of Oral Roberts' things. When Oral Roberts made the thing of making the contact of touching the radio, Brother Branham referred to that and talked about it. Why? There was an element of truth there. All truth is mine. That's a large sense. Now notice this response to this charge. But he said, I am not. Most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. Now notice, you talking about a stinger. He said he was crazy, but he said, no, I'm not crazy. I am speaking the words of truth and soberness. When you look in the Greek, it's the exact opposite words of being a nut. I'm not out of my mind. As a matter of fact, me and Timothy is the only one in this place that's in our right mind. Or me and Luke, whoever it was that was there with him. We're the only ones. It's you guys that's out of your mind. The only ones in their right mind in this day is the ones that's got the Holy Ghost. It's easy to see, friends, every day we are living in a world that is not going insane. They are insane. They are crazy. Oh my. Didn't you see how close we are at any time with Russia and Syria and all this stuff that's going on? We don't need to wait till the next revival. You don't need to wait till spring camp in Louisiana next year to get right with God. You ought to be praying up every hour. The rapture is right upon us. Things are happening so fast. I love how a preacher can sting and burn. And do it with such integrity. Most noble Festus. And then he took a blowtorch and went. I love a gifted man that can do that. I mean, he can just treat you so nice and set you on fire, and you think you've been dipped in battery acid. And you are scorched. I mean, you're walking out a charred ember of a piece of charcoal. And you're saying, that was so good. I love that tonight. You say, where have you been? You work at a charcoal factory? No, we go to Happy Valley. Okay, that explains it. No, he used him in such a reproachful manner and said such a thing publicly about him. Yeah, Paul never let it get a hold of his spirit and lash back the way that we might tend to do. Wouldn't that have been some kind of answer for a servant of God? When people lash out at you on Facebook whenever they say things, don't you understand what the law that's for? There ain't a doubt in my mind God knew Facebook would be here. Ain't a doubt in my mind God allowed a lot of this social media to come. Because many people are showing their true selves on that. You'll see their ignorance. You'll see their lack of discipline. You'll see whatever more. I don't even have the thing. I don't want it. But just from what I hear about it and what I hear that some Christians put on, you saying, are they out of their minds? Are they nuts? Why in the world would they say such stuff? Why would they do that? It shows a lack of discipline. It shows a lack of self-control. And then people go, bah, 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 bah. What is it? It's their pulpit. Even women can have a pulpit on Facebook. Well, preach, Brother Darnell. You shouldn't say that. Really? I read just last week where scientists and doctors have proven that people are addicted to it. And there is addictions of Facebook. They said if you cannot keep from opening yours within a 24-hour period, more than likely you are addicted. And they run people through an MRI and let them see symbols of Facebook and different things and watch their brains. And you know what they found out? It's the exact same part of your brain that addicts people to cocaine. Real easy to see tonight who had Facebook and who didn't whenever I said those statements. All you deer in the headlight people, get on this side. Praise the Lord, saints. Now that's not me. That's what science is saying. Why? It comes off the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Anything that comes off that tree has the potential of being both. Your smartphone can be a great thing, but it can turn you into a dummy. Praise the Lord. Not only can you not remember phone numbers no more and a lot of other stuff, but it shows your lack of discipline because your thing has access to the internet. It can do all kinds of things. You know, people are, you watch them in a doctor's office. People can't even come out and sit 30 seconds till they've drug out their smartphone. You hardly ever see people sitting there anymore just thinking or just whatever more. If they do, they probably don't have a smartphone. Everybody else is sitting there scrolling and Mr. So-and-so, your appointment. Mr. So-and-so, I saw him the other day. And he was so engrossed in his phone. Who knows where he was at? He was on Thailand in a gator march. He was down in Kasawabi on an African hunt somewhere. He's supposed to have been at the doctor's office for a checkup. And then they think we're crazy. I wonder who the mad people are, friends. Well, no, really, I don't wonder. I know who they are. Well, praise the Lord. If you're going to get addicted to something that's going to help you. If you've got to have that thing in your hand, get you a Bible app. If you've got to read something on there, go to the Voice of God website and download their app and read you a good sermon. Soberness is contradiction to madness. No, noble Festus, I'm not mad. In either way. I'm not mad, and you tried to make me mad, and I ain't even mad at you. So I'm not mad or mad. Praise the Lord. You'd be surprised how many preachers get in the pulpit and preach mad. Because something happened before church that they got an email from somebody or a phone call or a text or whatever more, and then they get up and just preach out of nothing but anger. Well, come on now, saints. You've seen preachers mad just like I have. Don't sit there and look at me like you don't know what I'm talking about. Go watch him. He says, Festus, I'm not mad. Now watch him now. Verse 26. For the king knoweth of these things before whom I also speak freely. So he addresses noble Festus and turns right back to King Agrippa. For the king, I didn't say nothing about Festus, no, because I remember that Festus is a Roman. For the king knoweth of these things. Now remember, it was his grandfather that was Herod the Great. It was his father that was eaten by worms. He had lived in Jerusalem. This man knew of Peter. This man, no doubt, maybe had never personally met Jesus, but he knew of these things. I imagine by now, Betty, old Agrippa and Bernice was squirming in their lounge chairs. Why? He is calling to their attention, friends. The Holy Ghost is putting them under arrest. The King knoweth of these things, before whom I speak freely. Now, it had been many years since the Lord Jesus, now, had died. But he had heard about him, Brother Dale. He had heard. And the fame of Jesus, and no doubt the fame of Paul's conversion, had already reached the courts. So he said, the King knows of these things, before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. The Holy Ghost has got his number. Isn't that amazing? Now, Festus is sharing it, Brother Darrell, but like the focus is on Agrippa. For this thing, oh, praise God, was not done in a corner. Amen. May I say to you tonight, this message was not done in a corner. It was not started in Jeffersonville and kept in Jeffersonville in the local little small tabernacle, but God sent this prophet and this message around the world. It's still going around the world. It's going where there is no electricity. It's going back in villages where there are no cars. It is, amen. It was not done in a corner. Amen. The prophet of God walked right into king's palaces and prayed for kings and potentates. It wasn't done in a corner. It wasn't kept in the Kentucky hills. God has a reason for doing that. Oh my. Hallelujah. Oh Agrippa, you might not know it all. I know that you know some of the main headlines of this. Oh Agrippa, probably start getting white around the mouth like some of y'all are about right now. Take your hanky out and fan yourself now. And y'all wonder what come back to his memory. Yeah, I do remember hearing this. I remember in grandfather's court. I remember hearing daddy say this about, I remember daddy, he had James killed. He had him, had him beheaded. I remember daddy, whenever daddy had that James killed, and that was such a big thing among the Jews that daddy had Peter arrested. And then Peter, they come up with that story that the guards come in there and they said that an angel or something come in. And they, of course, they had to kill the guards and they had to make out like the disciples stunning away. But I remember hearing my daddy and their counselors talk about it. There's too many guards in there for them guys to steal them. Something supernaturally must have happened. Amen. Hallelujah. You are acquainted, Agrippa. For the King knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. For this thing was not done in a corner. Now I'll tell you, I admire the man for standing there speaking freely, don't you? Now you imagine coming out before a king like this and telling this king, you know what I'm talking about is the truth. You have heard it. You've heard it in your home. You've heard it since you was a child. You know it's the truth. Well, this ain't a boy on the side of the road selling papers. This ain't a boy selling chewing gum or pop on the side of the road. This is a king. Brother, sister, can't you see, Brother Norton and men of God, they don't compromise. They don't cut back for a jailer, a sheriff, or whoever it is. Oh, my. It was not done in a corner, he said. King or cripple, believest thou the prophets? Now watch him answer himself. I know that thou believest. You talking about scary. That people can believe the prophets and not be saved. Now notice Paul answers himself and he's not saying a lie. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? Now even though this man is living in an incestuous relationship with his wife, he was never accused of killing innocent people. He was never accused of going out and stealing taxes. He was never accused of many of the things that his father and his grandfather done. He was a noble in the sense of the law kind of a man. And he was a man that was very strict in keeping the oral law and the written law, the Torah and the Mishnah. He was known among Jews as being a very faithful man. So this man read the prophets. Isn't it amazing that he read them and believed them, but didn't believe what they said? Isn't it amazing? I hope it don't make you angry. There's people around our message that believe the prophet, but they are lost. This man believed the prophets, but he was lost. You've got a church age messenger said, I know you believe the prophets. Oh, my. Lord Jesus, help us, Father. The apostle again corners Agrippa and ignores Festus. I imagine Festus there, boy, boy, boy. Hey, he's doing it again. Look at him. He's doing that again. He's preaching right at him. Paul knew that Agrippa was expert in these matters. Now, a person who knows, they become more responsible. Right? So Agrippa knew. Notice now verse 28. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. But almost ain't good enough, is it? Now, I want you to notice now, he doesn't say the Lord Jesus is dealing with him. He doesn't say the Holy Spirit. Of course, he's ignorant when it comes to some of those dispensations. He may not know exactly what to say. But he feels something, Brother Darrell, pulling on his heart. There can be no doubt that these words are delivered in such a powerful way that this man, now he didn't call for a private audience. He says this before Festus. He says this before the royal people of the court, knowing this is going to be written down for the ages. His imagination, his conscience, his memory, his soul, the senses of his flesh, they're starting to harmonize toward a yielding. And he feels himself being pulled. And then he stops. I can't. But he feels the impulse to tell him, you have almost persuaded me to be a Christian. It appears by Paul's answer that this was not a mockery from Agrippa. That it was a true answer from his heart. He's not a mockery in the way that he's saying it, but he's almost willing. Lord Jesus. An almost Christian is one who has some light. An almost Christian is one who sees their need of a Savior. An almost Christian embraces there is a higher life. And a higher walk, not only for others, but for himself. An almost Christian grasps a hold of it that something about them is not right and there is a greater world. That's an almost Christian. They walk the same path that a Christian does. They come to the acknowledgement, I need help. I need more. There's got to be a better life. There's got to be a better way. A Christian does the same thing. They come the same path through their senses and the power of begettal of the Holy Spirit is moving upon their heart and they see their need of a Savior. They see themselves as being lost. They see there's a better way and they can walk so close side by side by side to a man or a woman who's going to be a Christian. But they reach up to a certain spot and almost stops. And the other one keeps going beyond it. And the other one says, I'm not almost persuaded. I am persuaded. I'm not only persuaded I'm lost. I'm not only persuaded I need a Savior. I'm persuaded I'm giving my heart to Him tonight. Lord Jesus. The word there, the word almost, is very near, such a small bit lacking, not hardly any space at all. I'm almost there. I'm that close. I was way back there because I'd heard of you and I've heard of all this stuff. But sitting you here, you listen to you today and seeing what this has done to a person, I am almost. I don't like but just a little bit of being persuaded. We know, friends, that we're not persuaded to be Christians. We are born again. But from his thinking, he's still approaching it as if it were a mint or something, but something is pulling on this man. So an almost Christian receives light, receives an inclination that there's a better place. So they receive light, they receive acknowledgement, they receive an understanding. But there's one thing they don't receive: grace and pardon. Why? Because a pardon is only a pardon when it's received as a pardon. So you can see there is a pardon, and you can see there's help, and you can see there's mercy. And that's an almost Christian. But the difference between an almost one and one who is an almost one sees it there, an almost one recognizes it. But one who is accepts it. Accepts it. God, I accept your pardon. I accept your forgiveness. I accept it. I know to acknowledge I'm a sinner, but I accept your righteousness. I accept your atonement. Oh my. Let me close. And Paul said, I would to God. I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day. Now you imagine, friends, this is the heart of a real believer. They want no one to be lost. If there is anyone in this world that you want to go to hell, please don't leave this building tonight until you ask God to take that out of your heart. I would to God that not only that, I wonder how many of them have snickered and laughed and ridiculed and made fun of him and whatever more he's preaching. He picked it up by discernment, saw it on the faces of those that was visible, picked it up by discernment on the others that hid it. But yet now he comes to this time, to the altar call as it was, Brother Darrell. And he said, I would to God that not only you, Agrippa, but everybody else that's listening to me, also all that hear me this day, were both almost and altogether. Praise God. Almost and altogether. How can this be? Let almost run up as far as it can go. Then you open the door of your heart. Grace opens on the other side. Almost and altogether become one. They merge together. Then you're no longer almost, but you're altogether a Christian. Children, you're sitting here tonight, you're not almost persuaded. Almost became altogether. Why? Because the door of grace opened up to you. You took a hold of it on this side, and the Spirit of God took a hold on the other side and said, come on in, child. I forgive you. I give you pardon. It was no longer almost. It was altogether. Also, all that hear me this day were both almost and altogether such as I am. Accept these bonds. I'm not complaining about them, but they're troublesome, they're aggravating, they're humiliating, they're embarrassing. I'm standing here with them on my hands and on my feet and shackled. I can deal with it because I'm not a prisoner of Rome. I'm a prisoner of Jesus Christ. The freest man in the whole assembly, bound with chains. The world has tacked all kinds of names on us. Let me close. People have attacked all kinds of names on our church, on our website. They call us everything imaginable. They try to shackle us and bind us up. And you search Happy Valley on the internet and search Donnie Reagan if you've got the courage. I ain't got the courage no more. I don't do it. What do? They attack a shackle, a link of bondage of this and that and the other. Is that who we are? No. What is most of it? Lies. What did them shackles represent on his hand? Lies. This is an innocent man. He shouldn't have that. But who put him on there? People that did not have the courage to let him go. Every place he's been thus far, they've told him, and they're fixing to meet and say, this man should have been free. If he had not appealed to Caesar, we could have let him go. But God wanted him to go to Caesar. Praise God. Notice he raises Agrippa's words to a higher elevation. Agrippa, I wish not only you, but all the rest of these people were almost and altogether except for these bonds. This time. Praise God. Let's read, Brother Daniel, let's read verse 30 and 31 there. We'll pick it up, Lord willing, next week. But I want you to listen to this now when Paul finishes. When he had thus spoken, the king rose up, and the governor, and Bernice, and they that sat with them. And when they were gone aside, they talked between themselves. Now, you know what I find amazing is? Luke wasn't there. Wonder how he knew what they said. Hallelujah. They talked between themselves saying, this man doeth nothing worthy of death or of bonds. Nothing. Once again, God is having his messenger pronounced innocent of the charges of the liars. Every person that tries to say Brother Branham was a forge and Brother Branham was false and this and that and the other, somebody else puts up a testimony on YouTube of what God, how God delivered them and how God done this and that. Let them put their chains. Let them put their shackles. Come on. Same with you and I. Oh, we're in a call. We're this and that and that. Let them do and say whatever they want to do. And while they're doing that, the mighty God's walking right among us, performing miracles and signs and wonders. Who alone can do that but him? Praise God. Praise God. Let's bow our heads together. The book of Acts. The continuation of the book of Acts. Look, friends, it's been week after week after week now. No miracles, no signs, no wonders. But yet, look, we see God through all of these chapters moving by his power. But it's in a different way. I hope God will help us to see the same thing in our lives. How many would like to be remembered before the Lord tonight in prayer? Amen. I know we've got a lot of sick folks and different ones that's out. Let's take them before the Lord as well as we pray together. Lord Jesus, we consider it such an honor that we could be counted worthy to be laughed at, ridiculed, made fun of, ostracized by the world. It's not always easy when we bear reproach for truth. It makes us cry many a tear. We spend many a lonely hour when we're so criticized and so misunderstood. But yet on the other hand, we counted it such an honor that we could also be counted worthy to suffer for the truth of the gospel. As you yourself was so misunderstood, so laughed at and ridiculed and made fun of, your apostles on down through the ages it followed. And here we are today, Lord. We not only thank you, Father, when the supernatural happens, we all tend to gravitate more toward that God is with us. But your prophet tells us in the church age book, one of the greatest signs we know that God is with us is when we're persecuted, when we're going through trouble,
going through hardships. Lord, we don't seem to love that part of it as well. I pray, Lord Jesus, you would help us. That whenever we're cast out for your name's sake, when we're ridiculed and made fun of, we'd realize what our honor it is. The false anointed ones that stand before you that day, you'll not say to them, you were persecuted for my name. You were cast out for my name. You went through this and that and the other for my name. But what you're going to tell them is, you cast out devils in my name and you heal the sick in my name. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never even knew you. They were identified in the miraculous side, not the reproach side. Lord, help us, I pray. Some of these folks are talked about on the jobs, made fun of by the way they dress, or sisters, the brothers ridiculed because they don't do this and that, our young people going to school and going to college. But may you help them, Lord. May you help them, Father God, to be able to count it an honor. Praise God that the book of Acts is still living at ETSU. The book of Acts is still living in Milligan College and Happy Valley High and all the rest of these places, Lord, on the workplace. Amen. It's still alive and well. And Jesus is still being persecuted in bride form. Amen. Lord, you saw the hands of your people that were uplifted. I pray you'd minister to them. Lord, different ones sick and afflicted tonight. I pray for them, Lord. May your presence just move for your people. We love you so much. Father, we want to remember Brother Jason over in Russia, Lord, as I got a text from him today, Lord, and saying that he'd made it safely and he'd already had his first service. And I pray that you'd just be with him and the other brothers, Russian brothers, that's going to fill the spot, Lord, that I was unable to keep. I just ask that you'd meet with them in a mighty way. May the presence of God just come among them, Lord. Amen. Minister to the needs of your people, Lord, around the world, Father. We love you with all of our hearts. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Don't you love him, saints? You just look around and you watch. We're hated, we're talked about, and we expect that. We expect to be ridiculed and laughed at and made fun of. Sometimes the people you work with and people of your family that might not understand, but you know as well as I, many times those people, when they get in such dire need, it's you that they ask to pray. You know what God's doing? God is having Agrippa and Festus to once again speak of your innocence and your ability for God to listen to your prayer. For God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of him and doeth his will, him he heareth. Amen. You love him with all your heart. Oh, ain't he so good to us children? Praise God. Hey, let's sing that song we were singing when he brought out. Wasn't that love? Praise be to God. Don't you just love him so much tonight? Not as a passing thing, not as just something, you know, that, well, religion is a crutch. It ain't no crutch to me. It's a life giver. That's what the intellectual people say. You know, the poor, educated, uneducated people, they need religion for a crutch. They need religion for a crutch. You know, when I was in China years ago, some of the people that was there in the meetings told me that the communist government don't understand why people need religion. They don't understand. Some of the people I was talking to was school teachers and professors and whatever more. And they say it doesn't make sense to the government why we would seek after this further thing. Because we're educated and we've got this and that and the other. And I say it's because you got a soul. Books don't satisfy your soul. There's something in your soul. It's the same way with you tonight. You got something there in your soul that loves God. And something that responds back to Him. Let's sing it together just a bit before we go, can we? Oh, praise God. Sing it for us. Hey, let's sing together just a little bit before we go. Let's just give him a little bit of love. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Bethlehem.
Amen.
God came down to visit man.
Amen.
Wasn't that love?
Hallelujah.
Wasn't that love? Pain and loneliness as he wore the robe. Wasn't that love? Oh, wasn't that love? as he stood in Pilate's hall. He never said a word at all. Wasn't that love? Wasn't that love? He heard a mob yell crucified, but he knew that he came to die. Wasn't that love? Oh, wasn't that love? Wasn't that love? How he left his home above to die on Calvary just to save someone like me. Every day I'm still amazed. There's only one thing to say, wasn't that love? Oh, wasn't that love? As he lay there in that tomb, he did just what he came to do. Wasn't that love? Oh, wasn't that love? But he rose up from the grave, so I could rise up today. Wasn't that love? Oh, wasn't that love? Oh, wasn't that love? How he left his home above to die on Calvary just to save someone like me. Every day I'm still, there's only one thing left to say. Wasn't that love? Oh, wasn't that love? Wasn't that love? How he left his home above to die on Calvary just to save someone like me. I'm still amazed. There's only one thing left to say. Wasn't that love? Oh, wasn't that love? How he left his home above to die on Calvary just to save someone like me. Every day I'm still amazed. There's only one thing left to say. Wasn't that love?
Praise God. Amen. As he stood in Pilate's hall,
as he stood in Pilate's hall, he never said a word at all. Wasn't that love? Wasn't that love? The mob yelled crucified, but he knew that he came to die. Wasn't that love? Oh, wasn't that love? Wasn't that love? How he left his home above to die on.
God bless you, saints.
One thing that the heathens kept saying about the Christians in the first and second century was how they loved one another. They made several remarks about them, how they could die and their peculiarities and their belief. But it was a common saying from one historian to another. Not Christian historians, but those that were their critics. And they'd say it over and over again, how they love one another. Praise God. I believe anybody with the Holy Ghost is truly going to love. Not just him, because it's his life in you and I. I want more of that, don't you? More of that love flowing in our hearts. Let's bow our heads together. Thank the Lord for the food. We pray over our food and then pray over it after we have it. So, Jesus, thank you for your kindness to us tonight, Lord. We love you so much. I'm so grateful, Father, that you moved upon Luke's heart not to just write about the signs in the book of Acts. Well, the book of Acts would really be small, Lord, if it was only written about signs and wonders. We'll get into it in a week or so, and we'll start seeing a few signs again. No doubt signs and wonders was going on in the body while this was happening. But it's like initially, so many signs were recorded initially as the foundation of the church started. And then as they began to mature and grow, signs were still among them. But it's like the emphasis of that. It was still there. It wasn't that they quit seeing it and asking you for it. But their emphasis itself had changed to the foundation and the stability and the doctrines and the things of the church to make the church solid of what the church needed. I pray you'd help us to realize, Father, every time we go to the house of God, we may not see a miracle or a sign or a wonder. It doesn't mean that you're not here among us. It doesn't mean that we're going to start having prayer lines every weekend just so you can move. You can move by your word and touch people's hearts and change their lives. Help us to see that is part of the book of Acts. We do not have to emphasize signs every time we come to church. We do not have to emphasize all the healings and the miracles. Oh, that's part of it. They did. They had it among them. But if we'll follow the book of Acts, we will see how they wrote about it less and less, and yet it was still going on right among them. Hallelujah. Help us to see that's the true book of Acts. It's not a repeat of 1906. It's not a repeat of the days of Jack Coe and A.A. Allen in the earlier years of the prophet, Lord. But it is the revealing of the word to bring the bride to her place. And signs and wonders and healing and miracles is right among us. Right among us. It's part of who we are. Where a supernatural God is, supernatural things will take place. But our emphasis isn't just going to be on that. We love you so much, Father. Go with us now, I pray, Lord. Bring us back at the appointed time. Go with us in Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Turn and shake somebody's hand, would you? And just tell them, it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. Praise God. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Are you washed by the water? Washed by the water of the word. Oh, are you washed by the water? Are you washed by the water of the word? God bless you, saints. Go in the fear of God. Are you washed by the water? Amen. Are you washed by the water? Question. Yes, I'm washed. Yes, I'm washed by the water. I don't know about you. I got washed right here tonight. I'm washed by the water.